Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Coleman Nachter joins us in studio. Coleman, you were writing yesterday in the Examiner about leaving your child at home for the first time. It's a dilemma. It is a dilemma for a lot of people. And there's so much involved here, isn't it? It depends on so many things.
Yeah, I mean, again, everyone likes to know an age, you know, what age. And it's really difficult when it comes to teenagers and young children because the maturity level is so... the gaps are so big between one child to another. But it's become more topical because it's summertime.
Summertime, yes.
And I think there's camps finishing at two, parents aren't back. So it's on everyone's, are they ready? And I would say there's a few things you have to think about. There's some people who would say, sure, when I was 11, I was, you know, tumming lifts and I was the same. Like I was using a deep fat fryer at 11 years of age and, you know, and if I saw my own child, they wouldn't be able to do that. But the world was different then to it is now, you know. And I was trying to work out when I was writing it, what is so different about it? And I think one thing is the sense of community. I mean, again, when I was growing up, I knew everyone in my neighbourhood. So when I was walking the roads or cycling the roads or, you know, letting myself in with the key under the potted plant or whatever it was, there was 100 pairs of eyes on me. Do you know what I mean? From that point of view. Whereas I think now our communities are a little bit more private maybe, and I wouldn't be able to say confidently that I'd know my neighbours to wave to, but I wouldn't know much about it. So there's a lot more unknowns. There's also the kind of storylines over those years between, you know, Philip Cairns, Madeleine McCann, these sorts of things. They come into our minds and we're trying to think about, should we risk something or not? And oftentimes we think through the lowest common denominator, the highest level of risk. So there's reasons why we need to be apprehensive. And comparing it to the past isn't always, we have a rose-coloured view of that and kind of say, well, wasn't it much better back then? But actually, you know, maybe it wasn't. There was lots of things that about that time, clerical sexual abuse, all that sort of stuff going on at the same time. So when we're trying to make a decision, let's try and be objective rather than have it influenced by my own childhood and say, I want it to be the same because it's not, or having it influenced by the worst case scenario. So the first thing is, how open is the child to wanting to stay? Now, some kids really want to be older and they love the independence. Others might be a bit anxious about being left on their own. So from that point of view, that would be the first one. Then the second thing is, start small and move as you go. So again, maybe leaving them for 10, 15 minutes while you run down to the shop or not. Always leave at the start from somewhere where you can come back from if they're running into trouble. Run through a few scenarios. Do you know what would happen if somebody called to the door? Like for me, the postman, we knew him, Billy, you know, that was it. Yeah. But now there could be any Amazon drivers or anyone coming to our door that, do you answer it? Do you not? Etc. And then obviously, is it nighttime or daytime? Is it urban or rural? And the general, and I use this kind of maturity level of the child would be hugely important too. Are they managing siblings or not? But when I said 14, which was the guideline, I had a lot of people
By Tuesday.
And it was kind of a guideline, I think, for maybe Ukrainian families coming in to kind of get used to how we would do things here. And lots of people thought that was highly anxious or conservative to leave it to 14 and would kind of say,
yes. Yeah.
And then there was others saying, gosh, I would think 14 is very young. So there's a wide range of opinion around the enoughness or readiness.
I'm wondering, are we over-cosseting our children? Is there as much danger out there as we think?
I always remember somebody saying, like, the crime statistics aren't, but the fear of crime is bigger.
Yes. You know, so there's a fear industry. I remember saying somebody that to me. And I remember somebody saying that they were looking at a house and the children's bedrooms were downstairs. And that was a real deal breaker for them.
Right.
Because they were fearful that somebody would come in and rob their children. And somebody pointed out to them that there's no record of anybody ever breaking into a house and robbing a child in Ireland.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That has never happened.
Yeah, and there is, I mean, maybe our fear is making us kind of helicopter parenting in that way and overprotect. There's something wonderful about a child growing independently and having the skills to be able to do that. So if they are able to be left at home safely and they know that they can do that, that's brilliant for their self-worth and self-value. But as a parent, I would absolutely be able to identify with the anxiety around leaving them. And sometimes it's an effort of convenience. It's just easier to bring them with you or to go to the shop with them, or and I remember when my eldest lad was going to the shop for the first time, I was pacing the floor thinking, should I follow him? Is he taking a bit long? But it is about trusting them to be able to manage it. But we also need to trust our communities, and I think that's a little bit, that's different now than it was 20-30 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know? But if you go through that list and feel that your child is able to, I think you should start that process. I think there's something to be gained for the child themselves to be able to master being left independently.
And I know I say that, I ask the question, are we over-cosseting? Is there as much danger out there as we think? But if anything ever happened, you know, as a parent, you would never forgive yourself.
Oh, for sure. But again, we can't make decisions based on
fear.
That fear. Right. You know, the worst case scenario situation isn't always the best way to make a moderate decision. But from the point of view of going through those kind of things and as that list of it's only during the day, it's only for a few minutes, I'll build him up as we go, or she or her up as we go. She's not in charge of any other siblings. She's comfortable to do it. It's worth giving it a shot.
Right. So you're not going to put an age on it. And that's the important thing, isn't it? I think for anything, a mobile phone or anything, it doesn't make sense to put an age on it because there's so much difference between individuals.
Because I think there's some 12-year-olds you'd be fine at doing that, and there's some 15-year-olds you'd have grave concerns about their ability to do that.
Yeah. Now, I was talking about this yesterday. It was on the cover of the Irish Times. Good news story. The Growing Up in Ireland survey. The majority of 13-year-olds are healthy, have transitioned well to secondary school and feel supported by their family and friends. However, one in five, and it was all about 13-year-olds and the effect of COVID on them. And I was saying that it was a lot more positive than we were led to believe during COVID, because I thought there was a negative spin being put on things during COVID. You don't agree with me?
It's not reflective of my experience of 13-year-olds.
Yeah, but people come to you with problems.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a skewed view of the world, do you, in a way?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm seeing the thin end of the wedge, and that's the view that I see. But I also kind of visit schools and speak to a lot of people who see larger numbers of children, and teachers would tell me that things aren't all isn't as well as it might seem in that survey. I don't mean I love a good news story, and I'm not trying to be dour about it, but those children, that was done in COVID. Like COVID was still around. Many of the children that I meet who thrived during the lockdowns are the ones that are struggling now. Okay. Do you know what I mean? So those children are 15 now. I'd like to see that repeated. But from the point of view of it's interesting, children who were very heavily involved in things really struggled during the lockdown because it stopped. But once it went play again, they went back to almost pre-level
sport and all that sort of thing.
And they were thriving. Other kids who maybe struggled, who thrived during the lockdown, have struggled since the play button has been pressed again. Okay. You know, and we see that through absenteeism and things like that.
What about the difference between boys and girls? So girls are much more likely than boys to have low mood. 21%, that's 1 in 5 girls, as opposed to 8%, less than 1 in 10 boys.
Yeah, I mean, 1 in 5 girls with a mood issue is high. Yeah. And again, it's where our benchline of expectation should be, that we see that as a good thing. But girls traditionally are more, and again, it's a generalisation, doesn't mean it's not true. They would be more in tune with emotionality. They would be more vocal about it. They'd be more aware of their emotional lives, I think, and so are able to articulate it a little bit better. Boys struggle with that, and it takes them a little bit longer to come to that realization that maybe this is a sadness, not an anger issue.
And what about, is there any connection whatsoever? Because we've spoken before, and I've read loads of things on how teenage girls move away from sport. You know, like, boys stick with it, girls are more likely to move away from it in their teenage years. Is there any correlation there between low mood in girls and not doing sport?
Well, there's definitely a correlation between activity and mood. Yeah. And, you know, just as listening to yourself and Richie about, you know, that biological release of things and how important that is. When we see the activity levels drop off a cliff at a kind of 13, 14 years of age in girls, we have to do something to address that. Mm. There's definitely a correlation between that and a general feeling of apathy or, you know, emptiness within some people's lives. But again, we have to address the culture of girls' sport in order to arrive at that point. But for me, definitely that would be a factor in it, probably. But again, girls, in terms of their world of comparison, the world of exclusion, much, much higher in girls than it is in boys. Not mutually exclusive, but there can be an undertone of nastiness within girls' communities in teenage years that can be really hard to manage and really hard to deal with.
And been magnified by social media.
100%. And again, you know, we talk about social media, about the pressure of all that sort of stuff, but it's almost like the pressure of having to answer 14 Snapchat messages before your Cocoa Pops is one thing we don't talk about. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's not always cyberbullying, pornography. Those are the headline grabbers. There's a much more insipid,
insidious.
Insidious, sorry, that's the word. On their well-being, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And pressure.
Okay, Coleman, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. That's Coleman Nocter. We just take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.